Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The continent of Africa remains a mystery to the millions who only know about it through news accounts of war, disease, and poverty. Africa in the 21st century is understood in the context of its history, as told in the award-winning feature-length documentary, African Independence. Joining me now is Dr. Tekufu Zubiri, professor of race relations and professor of sociology and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania, as well as director, producer, writer, and narrator for African Independence. Dr. Zubiri, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. And now let's add new titles. Author of the companion book, African Independence, How Africa Shapes the World. And while we're at it, known to our WHYY audience as host of the PBS television program, History Detectives. So let's try to confine our conversation to this wonderful documentary. It opens with a young President Obama saying, "I see Africa as a fundamental part of our interconnected world." The film was completed in 2013, obviously too soon for the president's recent trip to Africa. How has Africa changed in that intervening time? Is it more a fundamental part of our interconnected world now than when he made that speech?
Africa is more part of our interconnected world, and it's an increasingly growing part of our interconnected world. Africa has some of the fastest growing economies on planet Earth right now. Africa has a growing population in that age group, which will make Africans almost 25% of all of the working age population on planet Earth after about 2030 or 2040. So Africa is an essential space, just as China was some 20, 30 years ago, just as India was some 20, 30 or 40 years ago. So the demographic changes of the planet mean that that light of workers and of just educating those workers to produce, it shined on India, it shined on China, and it's now about to shine on Africa, which is kind of exemplified in the fast pace of growth of African economies. People on Wall Street know this. You want to invest in Africa.
China, as you mentioned, certainly knows that they've been investing economically, and they were also part of training Africans involved in their liberation movements.
China has a tremendous history in Africa that is worthy of our consideration. So China, unlike the U.S., supported the African independence movements. China, unlike the U.S., was against the continuation of colonialism. Now, in some ways, the U.S. was not for the continuation of classical European colonialism after World War II. However, China was aggressively supporting the end of that colonialism. And as a consequence of that, China developed very close relationships with many African governments and personalities, so that today, the largest investor on the African continent is not the United States. It is not the Economic Union or the European Union. It is China.
Now, once upon a time, that would have sent shudders down the backs of Americans when we were locked in the Cold War.
Yeah, when we were locked in the Cold War, a specific question was being asked of African leaders. Are you on the side of the East with socialism, or are you on the side of the West with capitalism? And whatever your decision is, you're going to be not only defining your friends, but your enemies.
So there was no third option, independent.
There was no third option that anyone could practically follow. And so what this meant is if you were on the wrong side of the Cold War, you were not going to be developing your economy. So there was a penalty that African nations were confronted with based on the choice they made about the Cold War.
But occasionally that meant if you align with the West and specifically the U.S. was invested in maintaining the status quo, even if that meant supporting those in power who were not of a mind to see Africa become truly independent.
Exactly. And this is the case in Southern Africa. So in Southern Africa, which has several nations which were late blossomers, they kind of got their independence in the second phase, right?
Ghana was first, 1957.
Ghana was first in sub-Saharan Africa in 1957. And, you know, we need to put that in context because Egypt had received its independence. Libya had received its independence. The Sudan had received its independence. So there were independent African nations. However, none in sub-Saharan Africa had received independence, and no country on the continent of Africa had the vision of a Kwame Nkrumah, who said the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is connected to the independence of the entire continent of Africa. And so this movement spread like a wildfire, and Nkrumah's call became a beacon that no country will stand alone. No independence movement in Africa is alone. We are all with you. And as we become independent, we will join the fight and support your efforts to bring this new moment to Africa. That's why I think that the African independence movement was a success. It eliminated the old forms of colonialism. Now, some of the problems which persist have some of their roots in colonialism, but a lot of their roots in the now. And it is a question of the character of some people who have had leadership positions, but it's also the character of the international world as they've interacted with Africa. We've been approaching Africa wrong because we've been saying, what can we do for Africa? When the real question is, what can we do with Africa? So this is the thing that needs to happen, is collaboration needs to be the word. It's not that Africa is poor, it's that Africa's people are poor. The continent is extremely rich. So the question is, how will the United States work with Africa? How will China work with Africa? How will the economic union work with Africa? And it's going to be a more unified Africa because Africans themselves recognize that they must form regional organizations. They must be organized in ways similar to the economic union. They must get beyond this way where they cannot negotiate effectively with the large economic players in the world.
Your documentary poses the question, what of a United States of Africa, perhaps modeled after aspects of the European Union?
Aspects of the European Union, because when the movement started, it was thought of in terms of the movement in the United States of America with its various states. And it was thought of in the terms of the United Soviet Socialist Republic in terms of its different areas. And so, you know, this idea of unifying the African continent wasn't as distant from the imagination of those who were thinking about Africa and who were freedom fighters fighting for African independence. That is, they all knew that some kind of unity at a larger level than the states which were being artificially created after the borders had been established at the Berlin Conference in 1885, way back when. And that's how you got these, you know, French, you get this, the British, you get this, the Portuguese, you get this, the Germans, you get this. And it split up the whole African continent.
Well, the Germans didn't like what little they got, and they begot a lot of problems.
I mean, it was one of the reasons for World War I, and it was a really important reason for World War II. So, you know, the history of Africa and its role in determining international policies and influencing those international policies has often been a result of the sheer wealth and value of Africa to the world, its essential minerals which contribute to the modern economy. We could not live like we live today if Africa did not give its resources for almost dirt cheap.
Is that concept one of the big takeaways that you hope consumers of the book or viewers of the documentary come away with?
I hope that people will read this book and they will say, okay, Africa is a player in the world. Africa has fast-growing economies. Africa has some civil war still. Africa has some ethnic tension still. Africa is not fully integrated into the international economy, the international political system. How do we accomplish this for the strategic interest of humanity? The strategic interest of the United States is important, but that strategic interest has to be seen within the context of the strategic interest of humanity. And it is in the strategic interest of humanity for Africa to have a renaissance of development, for Africa to be reintegrated into the world economy, the world political system, and in a way which benefits the average people, the everyday people in Africa.
Doctor, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
It's really been my pleasure.
Dr. Tekufu Zubiri, professor of race relations and professor of sociology and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania, and director, producer, writer, and narrator for African Independence.